May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. There are several ways we could tackle that gospel reading from Matthew. I want to take a slightly different pathway with it this morning, and in doing so, I trust you'll see where I'm coming from with it. While raking the grass one evening, I experienced the awful sensation you get when you unexpectedly come across something that's dead. Among the grass clippings, beneath the rake, I saw the body of a lifeless sparrow. For the rest of the evening, that sparrow was on my mind. Again and again, I thought of Jesus' words, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of my Father." Then I thought, if it's true that God does care for the sparrows, what does that mean for us? In some of the kindest words ever heard, Jesus allays our fears. He says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of the Father. And even the very hairs of our head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." The very hairs of your head are numbered, so are the sparrows in the field. In the days of Jesus, a penny was one of the smallest coins in circulation. One such penny would buy two sparrows. In other words, everyone might own a couple of sparrows. But why would they? What purpose would they serve? And what goal would they accomplish? What would be the point of owning sparrows? In Luke's gospel of this account, Jesus goes a lovely step further and says, "Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God?" So one penny would buy two sparrows, two pennies, however, would buy you five. The seller threw in the fifth one free. And that's what I specifically want to talk about today, that fifth sparrow. Society still has its share of fifth sparrows. You'll find a flock of fifth sparrows in institutions, special schools, nursing homes, in our community. Indistinct souls who feel dispensable, disposable, worth less than a penny. They are those who live with a disability, the elderly, the very sick, those with mental illness, and those who sleep beneath cardboard on the footpaths. And what they share in common is a sense of smallness, of insignificance and being unwanted. So let me share with you two stories of the fifth sparrow. When I was chaplain at Black Mountain School for children with disabilities, I was in a classroom of the most profoundly disabled children. Amongst them all was one child who was far less attractive than the others, very disabled and constantly having seizures. Some of the older children from another classroom would come in to assist with giving these children a foot spa. They came in and they chose a child to sit with and to attend to his or her feet. But for this little one, no one came to help. I was next to him, so I was asked, would I wash his feet? I untangled his very stiff little legs and took off his shoes, put his feet in the spa and washed them, and after drying them, rubbed in the scented cream all over his distorted feet. Then suddenly I saw this child in a whole different light, no longer unattractive, no longer focusing on his distorted body. As I was completing the procedure, I felt a little tap on the top of my head, and I looked up and saw this lad looking at me. He was not in a seizure, and he gave me the most beautiful smile, and I felt the tears well up. This little fifth sparrow gave me the most special blessing of my day, and I've never forgotten him. Last week, I went to the Faith Community Nurses National Conference in Adelaide, and I was a keynote speaker demonstrating on how to set up a day hospice in your church, as we have here at Covenant Care. And while there, we were offered an opportunity to see a DVD called The Euthanasia Deception. It was not a political or a one-sided view of the euthanasia debate, but a series of interviews with doctors and clients' families who were involved in the euthanasia program. Canada, Belgium, and Netherlands were mentioned as three countries where euthanasia is legal. Initially set up to assist people with terminal illness to die, now the outcome of legalising euthanasia in those countries has taken a devastating road. In the interviews, we heard from one man who went to visit his mother in the hospital only to find out that she had died overnight. She was euthanised during the night at her request, unknown to the family, and no chance for the family to say goodbye. There was a young woman suffering from severe depression, euthanised at her request because she felt she couldn't live that way anymore. There was a family walking down the street pushing a wheelchair with a very disabled child in it. They were approached by strangers and asked why their child had not been euthanised. Terminal illness with extreme pain of all ages were having the program of euthanasia. One person changed their mind at the last minute and didn't go through with it and went on to live for many more years. Now, life is not about getting rid of the fifth sparrow. Those who are perceived to burden society or who don't look like we think they should. Many who requested euthanasia do so because they see no hope in life and feel that they are a burden on society. And this is a bigger driver of euthanasia than the fact that they may be in pain. Whatever happened to giving people a life that gives hope through proper, good palliative care and education in our communities? As much as the oncologists and specialists are trying to assist people to have a meaningful, pain-free, hopeful life in these countries, the euthanasia treatment is killing them. And so research into cures and meaningful pain-free lives are not progressing. Many of the oncologists fear it becoming redundant in their specific area. What gives us the right to kill people? All the way through the video, I kept thinking of Hitler and his perfect race. Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies, yet not one of them is forgotten by God? One penny would buy two sparrows, two pennies would buy you five, because they are worth so little. Let us never leave out the Christ-centred life to love. We need to keep it safe in our hearts and let every needy one who comes by us drink from the love that we have to offer in Jesus' name. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "Live a life filled with love for others, following the example of Christ, who loved you and gave you himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins." I was reading a reflection on that passage of scripture which spoke to me, and it said, in paraphrase, "Christ sets you free to pursue his love, walk in his love and express his love to others. Love should be our highest aim as you make decisions in life. The guiding question shouldn't be, do I have the freedom to do this? But rather, is my decision the most loving thing to do? Decisions motivated by love will move you closer to God's heart, will strengthen your faith, and will build up your spirit, enrich and encourage your heart. If you're mumbling to yourself that it will never make a difference or you're not worth anything, then you are sentencing yourself to a life of gloom. Even more, you are disagreeing with God, questioning his judgment because, as we read in Psalm 139, according to him, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He cannot stop thinking about us. If you could count his thoughts of you, they would number more than the sands. You know, God loves us so much because we are his idea. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us new in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. The command in the Bible that is repeated most by Jesus is don't be afraid. There's a time when things hidden will be revealed. What he asks us to do is to trust him in loyalty and faith and a determination to follow his example. What we have to remember is the one we are serving is far greater than the fears we may have, and to him we are worth more than a great many sparrows. So rest assured that God knows and cares about the details of our lives, even when we face temptation or danger, which can so easily surround us. If God really takes note of every single sparrow and every single hair on our head, that means that nothing is too great for him and nothing is too small for him to care about. As Matthew pieced together the instructions our Lord gave his friends for their discipleship, he showed Jesus explaining further what was involved in finding life in him. Not only were the disciples intimately bound up in his life as worthy companions who lose their lives for his sake, but they were also identified with the Lord. Jesus promised, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." The followers of our Lord will readily be recognised as those who are receptive of God's grace and providence. So what Jesus whispered in the disciples' ears about being fearless in our Christian life and example, we know in our time we should be shouting from the rooftops. And I think that's called holy boldness. In the chapters prior to today's reading, we see Jesus has forgiven the sins of the paralysed man and he had walked away. The crowd praised God for that. The scribes muttered blasphemy. Then dinner with tax collectors and sinners and the Pharisees. And the Pharisees had sniffed at that, and the disciples of John muttered that he didn't fast. Jesus had raised, as if from the dead, the daughter of the leader of the synagogue, given sight to two blind men, telling them to say nothing about it. But they spread the news like wildfire. He had exorcised a mute demonic. That had been the last straw. The crowds were amazed and said they never had seen anything like this before. Matthew's summary of the ministry of Jesus is set against that background of controversy, misunderstanding, and admiration. All that our Lord shared with the disciples about discipleship was realistic. He offered them no false hopes about being able to win the whole world. He didn't equip them as salespersons that could win with a hard sell or equip them as soft messengers of the world. He gave them encouragement and assurance. St. Paul says in his words to the Ephesians that Christian people must have the highest standards in the entire world. They must be imitators of God, imitating his love and forgiveness. Where God is, there is love, and where there is love, there always is openness to serve. And the world is hungry for God. When we all see God in each other, we will love one another as he loves us. And we need the eyes of deep faith, says Mother Teresa, to see Christ in the broken body. We need the hands of Christ to touch these bodies, wounded by pain and suffering. Intense love does not measure. It just gives. It's amazing how everything has its place in God's world, even the humble sparrow. Seen to be a pest by many a garden lover and banned in Western Australia, this little creature has no real beauty, but still has a place amongst us. It always brings a smile to my face when I see it, especially as it was the only bird species that was in the tomb garden in Jerusalem. And I thought that was very symbolic. It says something to us that everything is of worth to God, even the most plain of us all. And I love this story, which I think should be called a parable. It was a chilly, overcast day when a horseman spied a little sparrow lying on his back in the middle of the road. Reining in his mount, he looked down and inquired of the creature, "Why are you lying upside down like that?" I heard, the heavens are going to fall in today, replied the bird. The horseman laughed. Do you suppose your spindly legs can hold up the heavens? One does what one can, said the sparrow. And isn't that so true? Each of us, no matter how small or how ordinary we think we are, we all have a place in God's world. And for God, we do what we can, and we pray that he will equip each and every one of us to be good, strong advocates of the fifth sparrows and give us that holy boldness to serve him without fear. Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to not only be hearers but doers of your holy word, not only to admire but to obey your doctrine, not only to profess but to practice your religion, not only to love but to live your gospel. So grant that what we learn of your glory we may receive into our hearts and show forth in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.